In 1 Samuel 17, 21 through 27, it says this. Soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, and he hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. "Have you seen the giant?" the men asked. "He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward," say reward, "to anyone who kills him. He will give the man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes." Come on now. David asked the soldier standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" And these men gave David the same reply. They said, "Yes, that is the reward for killing him." The title of the message today is this: don't quit. There's a giant reward. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day, God, that you have made. And God, today I just pray that regardless of where we find ourselves in life today, that you would meet us right where we're at. God, I just pray for hope to arise in your people, that faith would grow in this place today. And God, we are confident that regardless of what we're facing, you are able, and nothing is too difficult for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you were here last week, we talked about the opposition that tends to come to people when they start doing something special for God. When God begins to lead you down a new path, we talked about how this looks different for everybody. Maybe it's starting a business. Maybe it's coming to church more often. The moment you take serious the things that God takes serious, it just seems like opposition comes knocking at your door. We talked about the different forms of opposition that come, the tactics that the enemy likes to use on people to distract them, maybe to cause them to want to throw in the towel early, to deter them from the plan that God has for their life. We talked about these tactics, and if you didn't listen to the message, go back, it's on YouTube. But the first tactic we talked about was the tactic of mocking. That like the moment you start stepping out, doing something for God, mocking tends to come. In the form of people, but behind it, it's a spiritual fight. And the devil's trying to taunt you before you ever get started, mocking you, reminding you how small you are, how inconsistent you are, how impossible those things are for a person like you. The mocking begins. The second tactic we talked about was the tactic of intimidation. That sometimes when you take that bold step for God, all of a sudden, intimidation shows up. Maybe the thoughts that you have are intimidating you. Maybe it's people around you saying, "Listen, man, what you are facing is way too big for you." The last tactic we talked about was the tactic of your motives being judged. In other words, when you take the step that God is leading you to take, some people are going to judge the motives on why you're doing it. Yeah, you're wanting to do that for this reason. You're wanting to just do that for this reason. Oh, you go to church now every single Sunday? You just think you're better than us. Your motives are being judged. Those were the tactics that we talked about last week. And you know what's interesting is that before David steps in the ring with Goliath, David experiences these same tactics. As a matter of fact, when David goes up to the King Saul and says, "Hey man, I'm ready to fight Goliath," Saul responds back and says this: "Don't be ridiculous. There is no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win." They're mocking David. "David, you're small. Goliath is big." But it wasn't just mocking. The tactic of intimidation showed up. What does Saul say right after this? He says this, you're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. David, let me tell you something. I know you think you heard from God, but that devil is way too big for you. That giant has been killing people like you his entire life. Intimidation showed up before David got started. But not only did David experience a little bit of intimidation, his motives were also judged. David's brother, he says this, his oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking, to the men, and he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway, he demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. What were they doing to David? Judging his motives. These are the tactics that the enemy wants to use in your life to keep you from moving forward. The moment you get on mission, the moment you hear what God is leading you to do, when you begin to do it, the enemy uses tactics to stop you. We said it like this: what God celebrates, the devil detests. But this morning, I don't want to talk necessarily about the tactics that the devil uses, but I do want to talk about what lies on the other side of those tactics. You see, when David stepped here to the battlefield, he understood something, that on the other side of this giant is a huge reward. On the other side of this giant is the life that I've been hoping for. On the other side of this giant is the promise that I want. Can I tell you something today? Perhaps the opposition you're experiencing in life today has less to do with you and more to do with your potential. Perhaps the fight that you've been up against, like, yeah, it's about you, but man, maybe it has to do with the promise that is right around the corner. And I just sense in my spirit that there are some things you have been contending for, believing for, that is just right around the corner. And if you get distracted by the giant, you might miss out on the reward. The giant shows up because the giant knows there's something on the other side of it. That's what the fight is all about. This is why God says don't despise small beginnings, because he knows it may look small today, but there's something great on the other side. This is why the enemy detests it, because he sees your potential. He sees what your business could be. He sees the man that you could be. He sees the mom that you could be. He sees the cousin that you can be. He sees the singer that you could be. He sees the dreamer that you can be. And your best life is right on the other side of that giant. When the giant goes down, everything about David's life is changed. When the giant goes down, David's future blows up. And I believe that is the same thing that lies in front of you. When that giant of depression, have you ever just thought to yourself, like, man, if this one issue was gone, what would life look like? It's not even like there's 100 things. There's just like one thing. Like if this one giant just came tumbling down, who would I be? If this giant just went down, I'm telling you, I'd be a different person. I believe it. And I got good news. Today, giants are going to fall. In Galatians 6:9, it says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't quit. There is blessing on the other side. I love the CEVE version. It says this, you will be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up. On the other side of this giant is a reward. David knew it. And just to be sure, David double checked by asking all the other soldiers, what did he say if this giant goes down? You gonna get the girl and you don't gotta pay taxes. Hold on, wait a minute.
hey, what is it true that if that giant goes down, my best life is on the, yes, David, it's true. All David knew, this giant has to go down. I know y'all thought David was just super spiritual. If I'm not mistaken, David wasn't paying taxes. He just wanted a girl. But that's a different story. That's funny. So I guess the million-dollar question is, how in the world do I beat my giant? How do I conquer this giant that's been harassing my family for years? How do I take on this giant that I cannot seem to get a handle on? How can I take on this giant that has plagued my mom, now it's plaguing me? How do I take this giant that curses me and yells at me and mocks me every single day? I'm not talking about a literal giant, but maybe for you that giant is sickness. Maybe it's that negative report. Maybe you're limited in what you can do every day because there's a giant reminding you that no, there's too much pain in your life. You're too sick to do that. Maybe for you it's fear, the giant of fear. You're trying to have a good day, but you're just tormented by fear, and fear is trying to mock you like it did the people of Israel. I don't know what your giant is, but every person in this room has something that they need to come tumbling down. And I believe that there are some things that we can learn from David, that if we do these things, I genuinely believe with all of my heart that you will see the giant in your life fall. There's three things that I want to talk about today that are going to help you again see this giant come to an end. And these things are not super profound. They're really simple. But let me remind you, God is really simple. He's not complicated. It's not difficult to receive a miracle. Don't let the enemy lie to you, making you feel like your impossibility is even too impossible for God. For God, it's not. The very first thing, if you're taking notes, something that David does in the story that I think is absolutely essential in seeing your giant come down, number one, is you need to acknowledge the giant in your life. You need to acknowledge the giant in your life. In 1 Samuel 17:45, it says, David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin." David was acknowledging that there is a giant that is coming at me. And I've been in church long enough where the right thing to do is just to pretend that there is no giant. I'm just a man of faith. David, how you doing? I'm doing great. How does your giant? What giant? I don't see a giant. Do you see a giant? In most of our life, we are too scared to acknowledge that we are going through hell. David was not intimidated to acknowledge that you are coming at me. And we get so professional in life that we don't even have the guts to acknowledge that, man, I'm having a bad day. Can I go ahead? That's a good moment to clap. And I know this might be rubbing some people that I'm going somewhere. I didn't tell you to magnify your giant. I just said to acknowledge it's there. So many times in life, especially when you've had a giant in your life forever, you just get used to doing life with it there. You just pretend it's not there. You do things to cope with the giant. You do things, and I just put my headphones in so I can't really hear him talking. I just sleep with the TV on so I don't have to battle the fear I'm really feeling. I'll just take these pills so I don't have to feel the pain that I'm really feeling of my giant. Just because you pretend it's not there doesn't mean it's not still there. I grew up watching scary movies, and I've always wondered, the little kid's in the room, and he's has the covers up to his chin, and the monster steps into the room. And what does the kid usually do? He gets the blanket, and he does what? He hides under the... I've always... What is that going to do? It doesn't change the fact that the giant is still there. Most of us are covering ourselves with a blanket, just pretending it's not there, harassing you and keeping you from your promise. Take off the blanket and acknowledge it is there. And now for some of us faith people, we feel like it's a cuss word to acknowledge that I'm going through something in my life. You know, I think it's interesting when Jesus would walk around to do miracles. Before he would do miracles, he would always ask someone, what do you need? What's wrong? And what's comical to me is that sometimes what was needed was so in your face. Like a blind man would come up and he's like, Jesus, can you help me? And Jesus is like, help you with what? What do you think, Jesus? But Jesus was wanting them to acknowledge what is the issue here. Because so many times we are afraid to bring our real issue to God and we act like everything is perfect. God can't heal what you don't expose. There's something about being vulnerable with your Father. By no means am I telling you to take that vulnerability and go and put it all over Facebook and tell the world what you're going through. All I'm saying is you can be real with God. God's not expecting you to be Superman. You can be real with God. It's okay to say, God, I'm having a really bad day. God, I'm dealing with this giant in my life. The Bible says that when you do that, you are operating in a sense of humility. When you operate in humility, you get grace. Grace to what? To overcome those giants. Acknowledge it. Some of us are so scared of it, we won't even acknowledge it. Not because we're in faith, we're just afraid of what we're acknowledging. I'm afraid of the giant. If it doesn't intimidate God, it shouldn't intimidate you. David acknowledged that there was a giant, but he didn't stay there. After he acknowledged the giant, David got an extra pep in his step. Because God doesn't expect us just to bring our troubles and sit there crying to him all day. Once you bring your trouble to God, God then will get you on mission to overcome that thing. So David does something else after he acknowledges that there is a problem. Number two, David prophesies to the giant. You must prophesy to your giant. Once we acknowledge what the fight is all about, it's time for me to start prophesying to my giant. When we say prophesy, what do we mean? What I'm trying to say when I say prophesy is you need to paint a picture of the future to your giant. You need to let your giant know about his future. And David does this, and it's so funny, but it's awesome. It says this in 1 Samuel 17:46. He says this, today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the... David's going in depth. Like, he stopped this. This is premeditated murder here. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. David is prophesying to the giant. Mr. Giant, I know you're real, but let me tell you about your future. You are no match for my God. I will overcome you. You will die, and I will be victorious. We've been prophesying a lot of negativity to ourselves. It's time to speak to the giants in our life. There are some battles that God's going to get in the mix, and then there's sometimes God says, now you go out there and you speak to that giant. Got to speak to it, man. When sickness shows up, you don't talk to it passively. You speak to that spirit. I use this analogy all the time. My wife hates spiders. She hates spiders. She will not go to bed if a spider is lingering in the house and she's aware about it. But how many times do we go to bed when we have all of this negativity lingering around in our house? We're panicked, we're in fear, and we let it linger and we cover our head with the blanket. No, you speak to that thing and you let that thing know that you are done, you are defeated, and you are dead. Speak to the giants in your life. You got to prophesy to that giant today. Man, just listen to the things that you say. I'm so guilty of this. Talking doubt, talking negativity. Sometimes I sound more like my giant than my giant sounds. But David said, I'm going to speak to you. And what's so crazy is 5 verses later, David is carrying the head of his giant. Speak to it. You wouldn't let someone come in unannounced into your house and take the TV off the wall and leave. You would stop and you would speak to it. You wouldn't call someone and say, hey, someone's breaking into, you'd speak to, especially if your husband's in this place. If you're going to the park and some man came and grabbed your wife's hand and started walking with her, you're not going to call your wife's dad and say, sir, someone is walking away with your, you're going to speak to it. Ask my wife. I have knocked out plenty of guys that have hit on my wife, literally. So I'm just saying, when it comes to the things of the kingdom, the things that God has already promised you, you have to stand your ground and you have to speak to those giants. Number one, you got to acknowledge there is a giant. Number two, I got to prophesy to this giant. And I end with this. Number three, you have to know your role in the story. You have to know your role in the story. It says this in 1 Samuel 17:37. David said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. David understood where his power came from. David understood he wasn't the rescuer, God was. If you ever feel overwhelmed when it comes to your giant, it's because you're playing someone else's role. You are not the savior. You have to know your role in the story. David understood, I know there's a fight, but I know who's responsible for giving you the beating of a lifetime. I can't tell you how many times I find myself so frustrated trying to be God in my life. That's why you can come to church on Sunday, feel really great, feel really charged. You feel like David. And then Monday, giants show up and you start to run. How do I say this? I got good news and I have bad news. The good news, or what do you want, the bad news first? The bad news is, in this story, you're not David. The good news is, in this story, you're not David. The story of David and Goliath is not intended to motivate you to start fighting giants. David is a type and shadow of your Savior, Jesus. And the same way David rescued Israel is the same way Jesus rescues you. Some of the reasons why we're dealing with worry so bad is because you still think you're David in the story. You are not David. Jesus is the picture of David. And today in my life, I'm not standing here trying to kill giants. I'm standing here acknowledging the greatest giant slayer, who is Jesus, and saying Jesus has conquered the giant. Can I take it a step further? You are not anointed to kill those giants. David was anointed to do it. Jesus was anointed to be Savior, not you. When David killed Goliath, he was trying to point everything to what was to come. That when Jesus would go to a cross and he would die on a cross for you, he would ultimately defeat every giant in your life. So on Tuesday, when you start to prophesy over your giant, you better know in the back of your mind that every word you sang is backed up by the Savior. My strength comes from the Savior. You know, when David conquered the giant, all the people in Israel were celebrating. They benefited from that win because David's victory was their victory. And Jesus' victory is your victory. So someone sad because you're like, man, I named my kid David. Shoot. I'm just kidding. You're not David in the story. You need to know the role in your story. The quicker you do, the more peace you will have, the more joy you will have, the more confidence you will have when you are facing your giant, knowing that it is not your responsibility to kill giants. It was Jesus's. And on that cross, he conquered every giant. Something interesting happens, almost like God just wants to prove it to you of where your salvation is coming from today. David kills Goliath and he chops off his head. He's walking around with this head. He's walking around with this head, and the Bible says something that we don't often talk about, but David does something with Goliath's head. It says this in 1 Samuel 17:54, David took the Philistine's head to Jerusalem. So David's roughly 20 miles away, and he's taking this picture of victory to Jerusalem. Everybody's celebrating. Everybody's excited as David is walking to Jerusalem. And most people would say that David buried it somewhere in Jerusalem. And I know Jerusalem isn't the biggest place in the world, but I've always thought to myself, where in the world did David bury that head? It's just where my mind goes sometimes. And we don't exactly know where he buried it, but we kind of do know where he didn't bury it. And in 2 Samuel 5:6, David is now king, and he's going back to Jerusalem to handle some business. And it says this, David led his men to Jerusalem to fight against the Jebusites. Say Jebusites. The original inhabitants of the land who were living there. And the Jebusites, they taunted David saying, you'll never get in here. You see, Jerusalem was walled in. So when David was walking years earlier to Jerusalem with the head of Goliath, it's probably evident that he didn't go into the city because there were people living there that would not let him in. Meaning, he had to bury the head outside of the city. What is this? This is a picture of where your salvation comes from. Because we see something in John chapter 19, verse 17, where your Savior wins the battle on the cross. In John 19, 17, speaking of Jesus, it says this, he carried his own cross and went out of the city. Out of what city? Jerusalem. To a location called the skull. In Hebrew, this place is called Golgotha. Could it be that when David was bearing this skull, that he was painting a picture to you that one day when your Savior comes up, he's going to bury the skull at the same place of every demon, every giant that would ever try to stop you in your life? You got to know your role in the story. I'm not David. I'm not Savior. But thank God that we have a Savior today that is going to help you overcome every obstacle in your life. I want to invite you to stand to your feet in this place today. How often do we embrace the responsibility as being the Savior? So often, when I find myself worried, I know, Andrew, get in your lane. Get in your lane. Get in your lane. Put your trust in Jesus. Jesus has conquered everything that is harassing you today. Everything that you're up against, Jesus conquered it at the place of the skull. Everything. And I believe in this room today, there are people that are trying to fight battles that Jesus has already conquered for you. Sometimes in my life, when I start getting funky and start getting really religious and spiritual and think I have to just start quoting more Bible verses to twist God's arm to heal my body. You know what I have to do? I have to shift my posture to a place of thanksgiving and gratitude. I take a trip down memory lane and I start remembering all the battles that God has rescued me from. Notice that when David finds himself experiencing the conflict and opposition, he starts to remind himself and those in front of him. There was a day when a bear came and that bear died. There was a day when a lion came and that lion died. And today there's a giant, but like my God did for the bear and like my God did with the lion, my God will handle this giant. Some of you, that car accident should have taken you out, but it didn't. For some of you, that accident should have taken you out, but it didn't. That overdose should have taken you out, but it didn't. You were losing your mind and were about to call it quits and end your life, but you didn't. And the God that saved you from the lion and the God that saved you from the bear is the God that is going to save you from the giant that is in front of you. I believe that giants are coming down. Can we sing something? I want them to sing something just over your life today. And as they're doing this, I want you to say thank you. Not for what's in front. I want you to say thank you for everything he's rescued you from. And I believe as you start to thank God for all the things that he's brought you through, some of you, the giant that you experienced 10 years ago is even more intimidating than the one that you're experiencing now. If he did it with that giant, he surely will do it with this giant. God, today we just say thank you. We say thank you. You are our victorious one. Our confidence is in you and you alone. God, we just say thank you for everything, God, that you have rescued us from. We say thank you, God, for all that you're doing.
Came to lie. And now comes the giant. And down goes the giant.
Over every giant. Giants are falling today. Giants are falling today. Giants are falling today.
And now comes the giant. There goes the giant.
Giants are falling today. Because you're good. No, he's good. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. The giant of depression. The giant of anxiety. The giant of fear. The giant of doubt.
There goes the giant. And now comes the giant. And there goes the giant.
Thank you, God.
Hey, 'cause first came the bear, then came the lion.
Your reward is right around the corner.
And now comes the
giants
giant.
Are
down
falling
goes the giant.
In the spirit.
Down goes the giant. Hey, 'cause first came the bear, then came the lion. And now comes the giant. Down goes the giant. 'Cause first came the bear, then came the lion. And now comes the giant. And down goes the giant. 'Cause you can do anything.
It ain't too difficult for your
you're
God.
Great and you're
it ain't too
mighty.
Difficult for your God.
You can do anything.
No giant is too difficult for your God.
You're great and you're mighty. You can do anything. 'Cause you're great and you're mighty. Oh, you can do anything. 'Cause you're great and you're mighty. Oh, you can do
Then came the lion, and now comes the
Cause you're great, you're mighty, you can do anything. You're great and you're mighty, oh you can do anything. Cause you're great and you're mighty, you can do anything. Cause you're great and you're mighty.
It's important to understand that as much as God had his part, you still do have your part. But let me preface your fight. When you fight, you are not fighting for victory. He won on that cross. He's not going to come down from heaven and go back and re-die for you. Every giant was conquered at the place of the skull. You're not fighting for victory, but rather you are fighting from a place of victory. Yeah. I'm not trying to get healed. Yes. I am healed. Yes. It has been conquered. The giants have fell. You just have to be awakened to what belongs to you. Oh, it's tough though when you're standing there and the giant is still in front of you. And when you want to just back up and quit, remind yourself that there is a Savior that conquered it. It will give you the courage on Tuesday when Tavo's not there singing behind you. It will give you the courage on Wednesday when someone's not up here preaching their guts out. When you are there fighting those giants and the giants trying to make you feel like you gotta fight harder, fight to trust better. We are fighting from a place of victory. The reason why God celebrates when you start to move forward and the enemy hates it is because the enemy already knows the fight is fixed if you don't quit. The enemy already knows you win. You win. And he's banking on you quitting before you ever get to experience the reward that David experienced. But I have some good news. There are some rewards in our future. Stand your ground. Believe in you. No, believe in the finished work of the cross. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for every person in this room today. And God, today we just say thank you. We say thank you. We say thank you for rescuing us. We say thank you to Jesus for conquering every giant there was. Today we rest in knowing that our giants have been defeated, that our giants have been conquered. God, I pray for people whose faith is lacking, that their faith would not fail them. That they would stand their ground. That they would stand their ground and watch you do what you do best. We come against fear, come against doubt, come against worry. We declare by faith that we are people of faith. We are not moved by what we see. We are not moved by what we hear. We are moved by the words of our Father. If you're in this place today and maybe you came in and you don't have a relationship with God, that is the missing component to your life. You were never created to do life outside of communion with God. You can't take your goldfish out of the bowl and expect it to win. You are no match for life. God knows that you need him. And this is why God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for you, because on my best day, on your best day, we weren't enough to be friends of God.
sin separated us from God. So God said, I have a solution. Jesus, you pay the price for every sin. You pay the price for every mistake. You pay the price and fix the bridge that is broken so that in 2024, people on this day would have the opportunity to know me, not based on their works, but based on my love. Today, you can have a relationship with God because he picked you. The Bible says this, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The way that you get saved is not by trying harder. The way that you get saved is by putting your trust in the one that saved you. There's an exchange. When I say, Jesus, you're my Lord, what I'm saying is, Jesus, I've been operating my car and these are my keys, but I hand them over to you today. And at that exchange, when you surrender your life to Jesus, in that moment, salvation becomes real to you. And you don't have to spend your life doing life by yourself. You can know God personally. If you want to make that decision today and you want to be saved by your Father today, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand in the air if that is you. One, two, three, raise your hand if that is you. We see those hands. We see those hands. We see those hands and we see those hands. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me and we are going to initiate the miracle through our declaration today. And in support of those making that decision, can we pray as a church family and mean this with all of your heart? We're not just repeating something. We are initiating something. Say this. Say, God, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, today I surrender all of my life to you. Today I confess you as my Lord and as my Savior. I thank you that my life will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.